The angry voice that you're about to hear in Isaiah is that of God. He's really disgusted with the leaders of Israel who are spending, wasting their time on pointless rituals like festivals and sacrifices and ignoring the needs of the poor people, the marginalized, the vulnerable. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teachings of God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of ram, the fat of the fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with your iniquity. With new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even enough to make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. As we move on to the epistle lesson, it is confirmed that we are where we are. We exist because of the Lord. And despite suffering, like we see with the Thessalonians, we have to continue our praise and our love of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. And the passage continues with 11 through 12. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. As we move to the gospel lesson, I have to say that, I don't know, I hate tax time. But imagine living in the Roman Empire where the tax collectors were corrupt. In fact, I read that tax collectors were more hated than the bandits who roamed the highways. Imagine that. And imagine being Zacchaeus, who was the head tax collector. Imagine how hated he must have been. But yet he had a conversation with Jesus. And after that, he decided to repent. Now, this was a man that was truly sorry. For everyone that he had cheated, he agreed to pay back 400%. You heard me, 400%. And to go further, he agreed to give up half of his wealth to the poor people. If you please stand for the reading of the gospel. (Clears throat) He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation had come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Pretty good. You can be seated today. We're going to take a look at someone in our gospel lesson for today. That's an old song, part of the Reformation history, which our church is certainly a part of. But I wanted to begin with our gospel lesson about this Zacchaeus. And you remember when we used to talk about this, and by the way, no Sunday school today, that's next week. When we used to do this story in Sunday school, you remember the song we sang? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord was passing by, he looked up in the tree." This is the part where the kid's like, right? "And he said, 'Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today.'" Yeah, do you know that? You remember that from Sunday school? Boy, you people are old. Gee whiz. It's an old song in Sunday school, but it sticks in your head, you know. It just, by the way, Tom, that's kind of what I like about this song about the God of the mountains and the valleys. It's kind of one of those songs that kind of stick in your head. I'll get back to Zacchaeus in a minute, but I want to take this opportunity. Well, I'll take the opportunity many times to say thank you all for a wonderful, wonderful years together. But I want to take a special time because my family's here today. And I don't get a chance to skewer my brothers too often in worship. So I do want to take a moment to do that. I wanted us to think about a memory, actually. They're the kind of balding guys. You notice I got more hair than the rest of them? I want you to think about a memory, about a fella who is a part of our past. Most of the people here wouldn't know him, and that's why I ask your indulgence. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do, right? Fire me? The indulgence is, there was a fella who was a friend of our father when we were growing up. They were in the Masonic Lodge together. They loved their Lodge brothers. They did things together. Do you guys remember Richard Carafa, the eye doctor? Those stories would not be appropriate for church, Craig. He was our father's lodge brother. He was a friend of ours. He took care of our eyes. You know, he did the optometrical thing, or however you call that, every year. And if you remember, when he put that house in that father was working on, our father was not a person who believed that children should be idle on Saturdays. You should do something, and preferably earn money, you know. We went over there to clean up that house there with all the junk that was in the basement getting ready for his office to go in there. Richard Kraft was his name. He actually died rather young. He died when he was just 66. As a matter of fact, I remember taking – Mom's been gone 15 years now. I remember taking Mom up to his funeral visitation. And so he's probably been gone 18, 19 years now. As a matter of fact, you maybe remember, does it ring a bell? They had some small children. Kamala, that was the daughter, and Matt was the son. And Matt became an epidemiologist. I don't know what any epidemiologist is. But he actually died 2 years ago. About the time the virus was getting going. I would sometimes see his mother. She's a part of our Middleburg Heights church. And sometimes our paths would cross. Well, anyway, where this story is going is Richard Carafa, he was our eye doctor. We were working for him, and we go there. And when I was 16 years old, I've worn glasses for over 60 years now. And I'll bet there's very few of you who have ever seen me in glasses, ever. I've been in this joint 27 years, just about, and you know, you never see, because when I was 16, I wanted contact lenses. And so I went to our eye doctor, Dr. Craig, we call him Doc, and I said, you know, I think I sort of want contact lenses. You know why? Because the same reason every 16-year-old kid wants anything, because all my friends had them. And I can remember Richard saying, he says, you kind of want contact lenses? You kind of want contact lenses? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, he says, they're going to be uncomfortable. They're going to be hard to get used to. And they're going to be expensive. And he says, if you aren't really determined, you aren't going to wear them. And you know, now that I'm getting to the point where I think I'm needing a hearing aid, I have a feeling that that thing is going to happen. You've got to be determined, you know, in order to make this work. And I think in a lot of ways, that's where the story of Zacchaeus is all about. Zacchaeus is a determined guy. He's a sinner, a tax collector, and Nancy, you were correct. He is a hated man. Nobody likes this guy, you know. He's a hated man, and yet he says, in the scripture, Luke says, he is determined to see Jesus, and though he is small in stature, that's where the song comes from. He climbs up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the gospel writer of Luke, who tells this story, does not just stop with Zacchaeus being determined. Jesus is also determined. Did you hear? That was not a nice invitation that was offered by Jesus. You know, he doesn't say, oh, I think I'd like to make an appointment to have lunch with you like next Thursday or something like that. No, that's not what happens. He says, Zacchaeus, come down, for I am going to your house today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not an occasion. Not when you're on the top of the mountain. Not when you feel good. We're going today. And it says, the scripture says that this kind of determination is really what it takes. And I'm thinking that's where we all stand in this church at this moment in time. You know, the pastor of this church who was, after 52 years of preaching in various places, you know, he's going to retire. This is it. Stick a fork in and he's done, you know. And I have no illusions. I don't think that's going to be easy. I don't think that's going to be an easy adjustment to make. And the only way it's going to work is that what all you tell me is you've got to be determined to make something good come of this. And the same is true with the congregation who I leave behind. They also have to be determined. The guy or gal who comes after me is not going to be me, you know. And they're going to do some things really bad, worse than I'm. But they're also going to do some things that are really good and better than I am. And you have to be determined to bring that person into the fold and hopefully give them as joyous a time as I've had. So my hope is when I talk with John, who'll be here next Sunday, I said, I hope you stay here 27 years and make it even longer and enjoy your time. So I think that kind of determination is what it takes. But the gospel writer of Luke, when he tells this story about Zacchaeus, what he really has in mind is the determination of someone else. The determination of our Lord Jesus Christ. The determination of God to reestablish his covenant and to bring his creation back together with him. And that's where this story really takes us. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And when he has this moment with Zacchaeus, this is his last stop. This is it. This is the end, the last stop for Jesus before he goes into Jerusalem and to the cross. And so that's kind of where, hopefully not on a cross, but I'm kind of at that point too. I've preached in other churches. I've had other churches. But I kind of have a feeling that this is my last stop. That's never quite easy to deal with that. And yet Jesus stood and became obedient. We've talked about this phrase so often in this church over the years, right? For God so loved the world. God was so determined to love this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And that's where this story is taking us. Jesus, salvation has come to the house of this man today. He's changed. He wants the Christ to be formed in him and in his life. He says, I will return everything I've stolen. I will give them back, what, four times? Four times, if I've offended anybody, he's wanting this Christ to be formed in him. And I think that's where the story is, with the Christ to be formed in us on this last stop for Zacchaeus, the last stop for Jesus, and the last stop in many ways for us today. So it has that kind of quality to the story. Donna, I got to get your God winks in here somewhere. You know, you heard on the Hallmark Channel. She spent the last 20 years telling me all the time, God winking at me. About six months ago, when I knew this day was coming, you didn't know it yet, but I knew this day was coming. I remember the first Sunday I was here. Well, a couple things I remember. First of all, I remember when I came here to interview, which is actually 27 years to the day, just about to the day. It was on the weekend of Halloween. And I came down here and I did this interview thing in the church, which is what we minister types do. The search committee at that time, which Lanny Mosseller was a part of, he decided that wouldn't it be nice if we took this guy out for a nice meal at Yussie's, which was this Amish place down south. And the part that's terrifying to me is to remember sitting in the back of the Mosseller station wagon, going into all those hoots and hollers of Amish country, you know, and I didn't know if I was ever going to find my way back. And to this day, here we are. And that was 27 years ago. And to this day, I can't believe I said yes after that to come here. I was traumatized by the event. That was in October, the end of October. And of course, you know, it takes a while before the clergy get here. I didn't get actually here till the end of March then. But I remember on the first Sunday, and I was here. Helen Maris was our moderator at the time. How many of you remember Helen? A few of you? Most, okay. Ray and Helen have been gone for quite a while, more than a few years now. And Helen gave me a gift on the first Sunday. She gave me a watch. This watch, as a matter of fact. And she said, use your time here well. Use your time here well. Getting back to you and your God winks. About 6 months ago, this watch broke. I wore it every day for 27 years. And it broke. And I took it down to Thurber's jeweler, and they said, we can put a new movement in it. He said, but, you know, really, it'd be better just to pick out a new watch. And I think in many ways, it's, you know, we can retread the old guy, but he's going to keep doing the same thing. Maybe it's easier just to get a new watch. And I think in some ways that's true. As long as I got Ray and Helen, as long as I'm skewering them today, see what happens is when you preach, you can tell all these stories. And I'm leaving. You can't do nothing about it. You know, Ray and Helen were a big part of our lives here for quite a while. As a matter of fact, did I ever tell you the story about how they came to this church? Did I ever tell you the story? Their oldest son, Billy, who, by the way, he moved in after Ray and Helen were gone towards the end of their life. He moved in. He still lives down there. Somebody needs to call on him, by the way. Go knock on his door. Billy was a little boy, and he wanted to go to Sunday school at this church up the road. They just lived down here on Mandeline Road. And so he asked his mom and dad if they would take him to Sunday school at Mount Swingley Church, over at the little place. And Ray and Helen both worked full-time jobs. It was hard. Sunday was the only time they really had to rest. And they didn't want to do it. And Billy said, well, if you won't take me, I'll walk up there by myself. And he started hoofing it up Medina Line Road. And that's when Ray and Helen said, maybe we ought to go to church. So they said, Billy's still down there. He's an old man now. But, you know, go knock on his door someday and give him another chance. When I think about that, the strange ways in which the Lord comes to us in our lives and the world and the formation of Christ in our hearts. And that brings me back to the story of Zacchaeus one more time. You know, Zacchaeus was not an extraordinary man. There was nothing extraordinary about him. He was a very ordinary man who one day recognized the things that God had done in his life and gave him the gift of salvation. And in many ways, I think we kind of approach our world in the same way today. You know, we're not extraordinary people. We're just very ordinary people who recognize, hopefully, the things that God has done in our lives
and our calling that comes from God. And that takes two places, I think, takes us to two places. One is in our heads. And that's why Nancy reads the gospel on Sundays, you know, to work with our heads, to remember the stories of the gospel, the truth of God's word as it's in our lives, as it's written down for us as God's book. So that rational side of us, and the rational side of us that knows that God is with us. But there's another side to us too. It's the heart issue. And that's where I think so often, well, I might as well screw the choir seeing as I've been singing with you guys for a long time. I've told you this before, and I've told Ginny this before too. The important part of the choir and the music is because that's where the heart comes from. You're not speaking to people's heads so much as you're speaking to their hearts. And of course, the same message is there, that God is with us and will always be with us. And of course, we want to be useful to God. And if we start complaining, you know, we've always had a lot of complaints around here. If we start and focus in on the complaining and the things that are wrong, and if we find our prayers talking to God saying, can you please change our circumstances, or we're not happy, or we don't like this, or we don't like that, then we have sacrificed our usefulness to God. The Lord has a plan both for you and for me. Now, the part that I'm upset with the Lord about is He hasn't revealed to me what my future is yet. It's for the first time in my life, He is trusting me with a silence that I'm not comfortable with. But maybe that's a way of preparing us for greater things. And in some ways, I think that's that moment when God is, we make some room in our lives for God to mold us and shape us. And sometimes we end up feeling a little bent or a little bit broken. And I think that's going to be a very big part of our life the next few weeks, the next few months, the next few years. And we're going to ask the question, why, Lord, are we going in this direction? Why are we going here? Why are you taking us there? And if we ask those kind of questions, then we've cut off the usefulness of ourselves. We are here because we want the body of Christ formed in our lives. It formed in our church. Formed in the kind of people we want to be. And that's where the story of Zacchaeus is coming from. He said, this little man climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as that Lord was passing by, he looks up at the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going into your house today. My sense is he's going into Zacchaeus' heart that day. This area filled with all kinds of people who know nothing about church, absolutely nothing about church, nothing about the story of Jesus Christ. We live in a fast-paced world, a technological world, which is sometimes very disconcerting and very upsetting to a lot of us. But that's the world in which the church has been placed. And that's our calling by the power of Christ to be the body of Christ for people that when they go by, that they know, one, that God loves them. One, that there's somebody who cares for them. And there's people who are here to pray for them. And so I encourage you in the next few months, keep my family and myself in your prayers, and you'll be in mine. 27 years, that's a long time in many ways. And some days I feel bad about that. I feel like I did you a disservice. You know, maybe you should change pastors four or five times in the process. You'd be more familiar with it. But I'm a greedy person. I'll admit to that. I have had a great joy all my years here. And if I have complaints, which I do, I'll keep them myself. And I want to thank you for molding and shaping me on my last stop in the ministry. Appreciate your kindness and your generous spirit. And I encourage you, the person who's here next week or whoever's going to be in the future, do the same for them. All right. Let's have prayers. Yeah, we're getting close to lunch, right?
Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the people we've known, and for the people who we will know. Some of the folks here are new, and I haven't gotten a chance to know them very well, but they are kind and dear people who have encouraged me. Some of the people I have known here for a great many years, we have cried together around the graves of people that we love. We have celebrated marriages and anniversaries. We have eaten a lot of lemon pie together and a lot of donuts. And I know my doctor would like to thank them for that because that keeps her employed. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for our day and our time together. May we always be listening for your word. And when you come into our house and to our home, may we be ready to call upon you each and every day. Help us to form the body of Christ this day and to be the body of Christ for those who are in need in all the places that you take us, in all the moments and circumstances of our life. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the congregation say, Amen.